Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Final hour, Darren Donick and Jace here on this Tuesday afternoon. Going to talk to Chris Tomino down in Atlanta very, very soon. Trying to connect with him. I want to say congratulations. Adam Barlow got in, and he's going to get into Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. Remember, it's a 6:30 start tomorrow evening as the Predators host the Blackhawks. Tonight it'll be 7 o'clock, same two teams. But tomorrow will be 6:30, so congratulations to him. As the phone lines exploded, I watched them. I watched them explode. I watched smoke come off the phone lines. So good job by everybody. We can only have one winner, though. But it's going to be fun starting tonight, seeing a little bit more people come into the building.
No question. We talked about this on yesterday's show. It's just nice to have a reaction when something happens in the game. We saw it in Dallas. Whether it impacts the result on the ice or not, we'll never know, right? We think it does for the home team to some degree. We were talking about in the NFL that home field advantage really wasn't. It was, basically 50-50. It was about as even as it possibly can get. And actually the visiting team, I think, won one more game than the home team this year with, the limited fans. The best thing is when, even if it's only, 1,000 people or 4,000 people, when something happens, you get the right reaction, right? There's a whoo, if something close or a big hit or obviously a goal. So there's nothing like the real thing. So it'd be great to have some Smashvillians in there tonight.
I wonder how Predators fans feel about the rivalry today, because obviously it's different. I mean, there's no denying it. Chicago's not the same team. They're going through a rebuild. I wonder how people feel about it. I mean, that was fun. There was a lot of years. I mean, if you really think about it, and we can bring it up here because it brings much more joy and pleasure in this market, but you could say the Predators played a part in kind of the end of the Blackhawks run. I mean, that sweep that year in 2017, that was the beginning of the end for Chicago, right? I think they made the playoffs the next year. Done. No, they didn't?
No.
So it was just last year the return to play?
That's the
expanded playoffs, the first time they've been in since the Predators swept them?
Correct.
So, yeah, you could definitely say
that. Different. It's definitely onto a new chapter. And as we were saying earlier tonight, you've got the Blackhawks trying to, maneuver through what's really been a rough stage here. They lost Kirby Dach, they lost Jonathan Toews. They thought they were going to have those two guys. Come to find out, they don't. Now you've got a couple of COVID situations to a couple more key players, so they're scrambling, right? And the Predators are scrambling. They had a little hit to this. We've built a new identity, right? This is the first real test of, hey, do you have a new identity? What do you really have in these new guys? Remember, everything was good after those first two games. You had some good signs. New guys were contributing. It didn't go so well in Dallas. So those guys are going to have to fight to get back in it to answer the question. Yes, this is the right ingredient, the right shift, and the Predators still are a team that can do some things. Because right now, I think the questions still loom after you have a couple games like you had in Dallas.
No doubt. We'll see how the Predators can bounce back in this one tonight, starting with a team that they should take care of business, right? I mean, you got to find a way to, especially if you're looking to bounce back from three straight losses. This is, to me, this is the perfect time to play Chicago for the next two nights.
It would seem like that, but that's a dangerous thing.
I know. It's nothing's a given in this league. I get it. You don't take teams for granted any given night. I got all that. But this is, look, it's not, it's set up perfectly. Like, Tampa's this weekend. Chicago's now. Like, I think it's when you're trying to get back in your winning ways, I'd rather see Chicago next up on the schedule than Tampa. Fair?
Yeah, I think to a degree. But I think there's also that question of, can you – ultimately, you're playing all of these teams the same amount of times. You got to go through Tampa. You got to go through Dallas. You're going to have some success against those teams and Carolina. But you're right. The best teams, they focus on the task at hand. If you underestimate your opponent, you're asking for trouble. Carolina lost to Detroit right before they came here. So that's on paper. Carolina should not lose to Detroit, and they beat them the first time in the two games.
Yes,
so they're gonna win.
They shut them out.
They're gonna win some games, right? These teams are gonna beat some people.
He's with 680 the Fan down in Atlanta. We'll see how tonight plays out. He's Chris Tomino. He's on the line with us. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen. I apologize. I think I'm a little bit late. I'm so tired of getting fined $5 for having my phone go off when it's not supposed to in and around the studio that I turned it off for a second while we were watching the Hank Aaron tribute on Major League, on the MLB Network. I apologize. I did not pop it back on.
Oh, so you've got a little fine system going on with your phone, huh?
Oh, yeah. And I'm a little tired of it. I'm a little tired. I've walked over my $5 on multiple occasions as the phone goes off in the middle of the show.
Well, you're lucky you're not working with Jeff Fisher. He would have picked up your phone and throw it against the wall. You wouldn't have to worry about that anymore.
And by the way, I believe he's kind of sort of in the news, is he not?
Jeff Fisher?
Yeah, he'd like a shot at the Tennessee job, the coaching job, the college job. Have you not heard this? Jeff Fisher is ready and waiting with a staff, and he's ready to go if Tennessee calls.
Yeah, we also heard that about Vanderbilt. Yeah, we've talked to him many, many times on the show. He would love to get back on the sidelines.
Well, he kind of made it sound like these guys are all living in his basement. Once he gets a phone call, all they have to do is walk over to the building and they get this whole thing started.
We were going down last hour. We had Brad Johnson on, and after Brad Johnson, we just went down the Super Bowl Radio Row rabbit hole. And I was sure. There's not going to be one this year.
No,
and I was just talking about some of the memorable moments or interviews or people you run into, the craziness. And I said, you know, you can also start forging, you know, relationships and friendships. And I said, you know, I know over the years we've ran into each other at Radio Row, and we would talk about, you know, a guest you had on, or, you know, who did you get, you know, how did you get them, what have you, and usually also come on the show as well. But you have a couple of Radio Row. I know you've done that just like us many, many times. You have a Radio Row moment or interview that always stands out?
Joe Namath was a blast. Joe Namath went into full Joe Namath mode. Once he heard that I was born in Staten Island, then he really went into Joe. It was a combination of the Alabama Joe with the New York Joe all rolled into one. But I've been going to those for so long that it was back before guys had handlers. It was before they were pitching cereal or balm of some sorts to help you heal. They were just there being a part of it. Can I also tell you what we were? We were at the forefront. This is the God's honest truth. I met my wife on a trip to the Super Bowl out in San Diego, 98. And the reason she was with us, she was doing traffic for about five stations in Atlanta, didn't know her yet, hadn't met her. She went with us, and here's why. We were so tired of playing the producer game of trying to get guests. We said, what if we have, and she knows the drill, what if we have a younger, attractive woman who could walk up to Ray Nitschke, Deacon Jones, anybody, and just say, would you like to come out in Atlanta? She knew nothing about, we'd have to tell her who guys were, we'd have to give, if we wanted to give them a line, so she could make it sound like she knew who they were and why we wanted to talk to them. We were so far ahead of it. She went to two Super Bowls with us and two All-Star games, baseball All-Star games. And it was, and God's honest truth, she's my wife. We're married 21 years now. But I met her on the way to San Diego in a car going to the airport to go to the Super Bowl out in San Diego. And it was incredible. We had producers and we had program guys coming up to us going, I got to tell you something. That might be the most genius thing I've ever seen. There wasn't a guy who turned us down. With all due respect, the idea of radio producer after radio producer saying, hey, Joe Namath, hey, Joe Green, why don't you come on with us? Well, this was such a curve. This was such the 68-mile-an-hour ephus that I think everybody was like, well, yeah, why wouldn't I go on? And she would bring him right over to the chair and boom, headsets on. She was probably, she probably hit 948 over the two Super Bowls in terms of getting us guests. All-timer, Hall of Fame number.
That's a pretty good slugging percentage right there.
Number,
there
yeah.
you go.
No doubt about it. And then she birthed me two children. And we laugh about it every once in a while, but that is truly like the best thing I ever got out of a Super Bowl was that. Look, the Falcons Super Bowl in Miami went to crap real quick, and I was in Houston for that one. So, yeah, she's easily the best thing that ever happened to me around the Super Bowl.
Wow, I learned something new. So you were behind the phenomenon of bringing the pretty girl to the Super Bowl radio row.
We were the first radio station to do it. There is no debate. If they ever write the story, if there's a Wikipedia page, whatever it is, let it be told that we were the station that did it. And I got a wife and two daughters out of the whole thing on top of everything else. Nobody's one like me.
All right. Well, hey, it's great talking to you. That's a mic drop. We'll see you later. You're not going to be able to top that story.
No, I'm done. You're right.
Arthur Smith and Dean Pease are down there now. What has been the reaction to those hires?
Really interesting because, you know, everybody sort of tries to do the deep dive into Arthur Smith, and that means, okay, what kind of guy is he? You ask people like you, and I did call you, thank you. And then you try to look at some Tennessee Titans film and go, okay, let's figure out what he is. And Pease is a 3-4 guy, but what do we run here? We don't have linebackers. So I think a lot of that stuff happens. And then I hope, and I believe this from minute one, I was never really going to take the press conferences, anything other than a press conference. I was never going to take the coordinator hires as anything other than coordinator hires, especially when you talk about, you know, you guys know, 3-4-4-3. Well, you'll be flagged for 12 men on the field 60% of the time because there's 5 DBs on the field 60% of the time. Nobody really runs a 3-4 or 4-3. You want athletes. You know, linebackers have gotten a little bit smaller and ability to run across the field. Safeties have gotten stronger. They head downfield, and I'd love for that to be the case. I think it's brilliant. I thought, you know, it's sort of the Wade Phillips thing. I have a lot of things that I need to do, and I've never done them before as a head coach. Let me get a guy who I absolutely trust and know that he's got what he needs to cover, covered every day. That's what Dean Pease is. In terms of what he wants to run, do we have enough talent to do that? Can Arthur Smith replicate what they did in Tennessee? I think that's all the window stuff. That's the dressing. I don't buy into any of that because, as he said, and I'll give him credit, look, he doesn't sound like he's going to spin plates or juggle. He doesn't sound like he's going to be overly entertaining, and I'm really okay with that. I don't need a dancing bear at this point. I need a guy to figure out how we can actually win games in the fourth quarter, not do dumb things and lose games in the fourth quarter. So I'm not looking at the personality. I don't know what he'll be as a head coach, but I do know from what everybody said, the idea that he basically started as a coffee guy, you know, like a lot of these guys do, go get the coffee, and then he worked his way up. I'm willing to roll with that. And what I saw what Tennessee did, he's not bringing Derrick Henry. He's not bringing what you've had over there. But at least I think what he has an ability to do is square peg, square hole what he wants to do on offense. And if you can square peg, square hole this thing, then I think we're in a better place. And just not losing fourth quarter leads would be the best thing of all.
Well, I think this offseason's got a chance, just like last offseason, to do things we've never seen done in this league. And the quarterback shuffle is astounding, right? It's amazing to see the names that are getting moved in the league. So is Arthur Smith going to do this with Matt Ryan, or what's the status with Matt Ryan in the Falcons organization?
Yeah, a lot of cap space. I don't think you get rid of Matt Ryan, even if you wanted to take a quarterback early, whether you do it at 4, drop back a little bit and still do it in the first round. I don't envision this team not having Matt Ryan under center for a couple of reasons. Whether it's stability to get things started, you know, at the end of the day, what I like about the offensive guy, because we've had defensive guys around here this side of baloney face Bobby Petrino, who was just a disaster here. They've gone defense around here. So I like the idea that maybe Arthur Smith is going to be a part of what do we do with Matt Ryan. Do we eat the whole cap salad all at once? Let me ask you guys this. You know the way the cap works. And I think the NFL probably has to look at this again. I wish there were trades in the NFL. I wish it was easy and cap space, dead money, didn't affect trades the way they did. Maybe they should actually look at the rules and try to figure out what you can do with cap space so the league actually had more trades become viable. But if Arthur Smith tells me it's time to trade Matt Ryan, I'm going to go, okay, it's time to trade Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is here for 2 years. He believes he's going to win with Matt Ryan for 2 years. That's why I like an offensive guy on the side of that side of the football now being the head coach of this team, because I do think it's an important decision. Julio Jones, what do you want to do? You know, I'm so tired of watching them tap out and not play games and not score touchdowns. And the one thing I did try to ask Arthur Smith was, I said, listen, I don't want to be drawn on a napkin guy. I really don't want to be the guy who comes up to you in the middle of your dinner and tells you, hey, have you ever thought about this, coach? But I did ask him if there might be some back pylon throws we can actually throw to Julio. I mean, maybe put that as part of the playbook. And like, he got the joke that I didn't want to be napkin guy, but I'm about to be napkin guy. Because I think Falcons fans can't figure out how, quote-unquote, one of the best receivers in the league doesn't score touchdowns. So maybe it's been a scripting problem. Maybe it's been a play design problem. But if Julio Jones is going to be around here and not piss me off as much as he has for the last few years, let's score some touchdowns. If Arthur Smith can draw it up where he does, good. If he can get Julio to practice on Thursdays, good. You know, no downside to that. I like the idea that it is an offensive guy around here. That part I do like before he does anything with the organization.
Chris Domino with us down in Atlanta. Chris, I can only imagine what it was like for you. I'm just curious how you covered the Hank Aaron situation. Oh. You just mentioned, you know, the tributes going on.
Yeah.
You know, you just, nobody ever will ever say a bad word about Hank Aaron. It's just the class, the elegance that comes forward. Every thought that you have about that, and I really enjoyed over the years how, you know, he became sort of an ambassador for the Braves,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was such a great spokesperson, and you know that wisdom that comes with age. But so how was this down in the state where he had such an impact?
I think there were two times for the generation that didn't see him play. For me, I'll get to me personally in a second, because Hank Aaron was so good to me. We had, and I don't say this often, I've been fortunate enough to have some friendships off the field with guys that I just liked, not because they played, but I just liked them. Hank Aaron was a baseball friend, and he was unbelievably gracious with his time and his words with me, and he proved it over the years by doing, we did a two-hour sit-down for TV a couple of 2006 at the Braves Museum at Turner Field, and originally the TV guys thought it was going to be 10, 12 minutes. This is an old school thing where they had to change the film, like whatever the hell film cartridge for the hell he was using it. Because we were an hour in, they were like, well, is Hank good? I said, he's sitting right here. He's a grown man. He can tell you if he's good or not. He said, I'm good. We did another hour. And it ended up being this hour-long special with a bunch of stuff still around floating at Fox Sports somewhere. But he was really gracious to me. I told him a story. I was an 11-year-old in 1974, the year he broke the record. And I got on two buses. I lived in Staten Island. This is a guy's on the truth, guys. He breaks Babe Ruth's record. He had one national endorsement deal, one, Magnavox TV. He did an appearance tour in that winter, and I got on as an 11-year-old, two buses to go to the Staten Island Mall just to get a drive-by glimpse of Hank Aaron. I got a pre-signed card, you know, the one that's a fake autograph, kind of, you know, it's just, you know, we run 1,000 of these off and we hand them out to 11-year-olds at the Staten Island Mall. But he got such a kick out of hearing that story. I took a picture. It was a Monday night game that he did it, and I don't even know if you guys were old enough. Do you remember what the 110 camera was, the Kodak 110, the Instamatic? You could attach a cube, a flash cube, to the top. I took a picture of the TV.
Okay.
And all
yeah, I remember these things. The bulb kind of explodes, and as a kid you're looking in there going, ooh, that
four-sided.
Thing exploded. Yeah.
The four-sided bulb.
Yeah, and there's smoke that comes off of it once you take the flash.
Kodak Instamatic. I took a picture of the TV the night he hit the home run. And all you see is a reflection of me coming back. And I had an opportunity as a grown-ass man getting to know Hank Aaron to show him that picture. I said, Hank, that's you hitting a home run, except that's me holding an Instamatic camera and the reflection bounces back. He was so gracious to me. And I believe this. I have many opportunities to sit down with him. Two things. When Barry Bonds was going and everybody said it's a fait accompli, he's going to do it. The greatest thing that happened was people who hadn't seen Hank play started to look at the numbers. And it was really more of, oh my God, how did I not know this about Hank Aaron? 2,200 RBI, 2,000 runs. Think about that, guys. You score 100 runs, you're driving 100, you're a productive player. The man had over 2,000 runs scored and 2,000 RBI, still the all-time RBI guy. He never struck out 100 times in a season. He told me, Chris, if I would have struck out 100 times in one season, nobody would have seen me that winter. I would have been too embarrassed to come out of my house. So that's the way he played the game. He said, you know, he did one-year contracts. He worked for 17 of his 23 years in the offseason. The first 17 years, he sold shipping freight, truck freight space. He worked for 17 offseasons before he didn't, quote-unquote, have to. And he was gracious in his foundation and the things that he's done with his wife, Billy. I've gotten to know him really well. I got invited to the Japanese embassy two years ago with him here in Atlanta. And you could just tell that I think what happened is later in his life, people realized not only how great he was as a player, but as guys sort of, you know, hit that 80, you start to look back and people get a little bit reflective because they're nervous. They're nervous about, you know, okay, how much more time do we have to let this guy know what we think about him when he was alive? They had a 75th birthday party for him at the Marriott Marquis. Two former presidents were in the house. Maybe that's all you need to know. It was an unbelievable event for a 75th. But it was for charity. Like, they raised money for charity every time he had one of these birthday parties. He wasn't doing it to dig me. He was doing it to raise money. So I think the Bonds thing was the greatest thing that happened in the regard that people really look back at Hank's career and really started to put into perspective the idea that you can be an all-time great and still be underrated. And it is interesting. Today they did the service. Today's the day they will announce. And I don't think anybody's getting into the Hall of Fame for this next class. But the fact that like nine people, I think it's nine, didn't vote for Hank Aaron. George Brett, who's in front of him, and they should just come out and say, listen, I'm a little embarrassed that I got a higher percentage than Hank Aaron. It was like 97.8%. What kind of chucklehead do you have to be?
It's incredible
that you didn't vote for Hank Aaron.
It's incredible. My jaw dropped. I saw Buster Olney tweeted that out. I didn't know that.
You should lose your vote forever. You should never have another vote. You don't respect anything that should be respected about having a vote.
What could possibly have been the argument? There is none.
Yeah. No, so. There is none. And I'm going to tell you one other thing very quickly. Hank kept those letters. And, you know, in case you don't know, the two guys that ran on the field when he hit 715, they're very lucky, and I mean this, they didn't get shot because there were people, snipers, in the building because of the threats that really nobody knew about except Hank's family and then the FBI and the people who needed to know, the people who put snipers in a building. So those two guys got so lucky that they didn't get taken down there. But I'm telling you, he didn't tell the world about that till later. And he kept those letters because he said he never wanted to forget, and someday this might mean something to somebody else. You know, he told me multiple times. He had a little bag, train station. There's a photo of him. Guys, Google it right now. Hank Aaron, train station, 18 years old. He's got, as they said, two changes of clothes, maybe two sandwiches and $1.50 in his pocket. And he told me that he told his mother, when it didn't work out well his first couple of days in the majors, and he said this in the minor leagues too, I might be coming home, my bag is always packed. My bag is always packed because this is a game that if you can't do it very well, they tell you it's time to go home. 23 years later, 24 All-Star games later, Hall of Fame career that really, I don't care, Babe Ruth might be the rival, no doubt about it, but nobody else really has been Hank Aaron on a baseball field, and not many have been Hank Aaron off the field.
Darren, I think Chase was the one that texted this to remind me of this stat, but I'd heard it before, but it says so much, and Chris, you're so well aware of this, but so much more than the home runs, as you said. If you take away every home run, he still has 3,000 other hits?
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's a fact. He's third all-time, by the way, still with 3,700 and change. I'll give you one more. It's funny because he didn't really talk about himself, but if you ask the question in a manner that it was relaxed, I think I told Darren the other day, Hardball Podcast is this podcast that I do, and just really on Friday, I think it was Friday or maybe Saturday morning, I put up a 24-minute conversation from 2001, and I asked him specifically about what would his reputation have been had he played in New York, and I promise, if you get nothing else out of it, just find that part where he finally, quote-unquote, lets his hair down and lets you know the difference in playing in Milwaukee and Atlanta as opposed to playing in New York. And it was one of those moments. I don't think he would have given it to me had we not had a pre-existing relationship. But he finally answers the question about, and by the way, he's very happy with his life. He didn't necessarily need crazy pats on the back or anything else. But it is an interesting moment when the reality of Milwaukee and Atlanta compared to New York is at least addressed by him.
And that's it's so interesting when you say that. I'm also thinking another stat that comes out when you look at Hank Aaron year by year. He didn't have the years where he's chasing Babe Ruth for a single season, right? It was just every year you could mark it down 35, 40, right. somewhere in there, but never hit 50. So that's even less reason for the spotlight maybe to be on him, right? It was just a steady force.
Well, and the other thing, Mickey Mantle ended up with a below 300 average. We'd had that conversation, how, you know, when is it time to get out? He hit 305 for his career. But people will tell you, well, in today's game, batting average doesn't matter. Go tell a guy who plays for 23 years who has a lifetime 305 average what that is compared to 298. It's only 7 points. But what it means to a guy to know that across the board, 305 was his lifetime average. That matters to guys because it just meant, again, run production, driving and runs is more important. But you don't want to be the guy who just misses out on that because it was important to those guys. That number did matter. A lot of numbers mattered, mostly on one-year deals because you had to go in and ask for $4,000 more. You had to fight, beg, borrow, and steal to get a $4,000 raise, a lot of these guys for those years. So that number did matter. But over 23 years, if you hit 305, and guys, you know this, you know, he talked about he could have been a switch hitter. He naturally could have been, and he wasn't bragging. He was just he started his career in the Negro Leagues as a cross-handed hitter. That's a true story. He hit cross-handed, like his hands were placed.
Well, when you hear stuff like that, you wonder, how could that possibly be?
How could it be?
Yeah.
If there was a piece of paper making the rounds. It's his scouting report. It's one thing is horrifying. Another thing is kind of funny. Power, the grade is fair. Fair. That was his power. But again, supposedly this was written as he was still really getting used to not hitting cross-handed. He was a contact hitter, good speed guy, good runner, all those things. But power was fair. The other thing that if you really want to understand the ridiculousness of the world, and you can pull this up, Hank Aaron's scouting report, it's been making the rounds, and I'd seen this before. Under nationality, it says Negro. That's what it says under nationality. Like, if you just want to think for a second, what in the holy hell? And when he was in the Sally League, still segregated. You know, in the Negro Leagues, obviously, you're talking about playing in the Negro Leagues because there weren't really still in 1948, 49, 50, there weren't enough opportunities yet for guys being signed by major league teams and going right to their minor leagues. So, plus the death threats and everything else. To do it with Gray's class, to do it at the level he did, to do it in the first couple of days of the season with all that stuff hanging over his head, let alone the first 7-14 that came, it's a different time, but it was a guy who, you know, the suffering silence was absolutely the way he chose to live his life at that point instead of putting it all out on Front Street.
Good stuff as always. Really appreciate it. We'll chat soon. I'd like to talk to you the next time we bring you on to, you know, where's Major League Baseball going with, you know, expansion? Where is this headed? Right now it's on hold. I don't know why it's on hold, but we'll do that the next go around.
I want to be a dual city guy. I want to go Atlanta and Nashville as often as I can if and when that finally happens.
That would be very, very nice. Chris, appreciate it. Thanks for doing this.
Have a great rest of the day.
All right, you too. That's Chris Domino, 680 The Fan, down in Atlanta. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.